Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing.
Happy hours, nightly parties, who's speaking on stage now? These are all questions attendees ask during the day at a large-scale conference, but they can often be left to the last minute and not everyone knows where to go.
Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. I am, as usual, Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman, and today we'll discuss how mobile event tickets filled in the gaps at events when knowing at the event falls through the cracks.
Oh, I love that, knowing. I can hear you put it in quotes.
Yes.
And you know, that's right. So over the last year or so, one thing that we really are starting to notice at some of the larger scale conferences that we're attending, you know, we're seeing it over and over. And it's a scheduling situation. This should not be a mystery. It basically boils down to, where do we go next and why can I not find it on the website or on the app?
That's right, Kim. Some of the less organized shows, ones can make us scratch our head. And we'll discuss today how mobile wallet passes solve the mystery of how knowing can fall through the cracks.
Okay, perfect. So let's just stop for a second, though, because not everybody may understand what a mobile wallet pass is, how it works, how it applies, why you want to use it. So I'm going to get you to take a few minutes here, maybe a couple, 2-3 minutes, and explain the technical, very briefly, oversight of the technical process of a pass and how it is actually used.
Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the back links, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do. Our site, mobilewalletmarketer.com, where big, huge events use notifications to immobilize their attendees. So look for that one too.
Right. And, you know, I also want to mention a relatively new podcast. We just started doing a best of series compilation. And episode 71, we took some of our favorite snippets out of the various events and trade shows oriented episodes. And so that's going to give you some ideas about how to get the most out of using mobile passes when you set them up as event tickets. So I do want to keep in mind, we use the mobile tickets in conjunction with traditional methods like lanyards and registration, stuff like that. So to get the most out of using these strategies, it's really to distribute the pass at the time of payment confirmation. And we also talk a bit in some of these other episodes about how to set up and use either iBeacons or geofencing messages as your attendees are approaching and passing through the venue, for lack of a better word.
Right, right. Thanks, Kim. And with that in mind, let's get back to a few real examples where mobile passes and their push notifications help communicate with attendees. So a few months ago at a conference I registered for, I kept receiving emails from them and they went out like clockwork. You know, obviously they use a mail program like MailChimp. And, you know, they reminded attendees of the conference of what to expect. You get an email of their sponsors and what's going on in the seminars, that kind of thing. And not one time did I realize that there's actually an app for this conference. It was not mentioned in the email. It wasn't until I stood in line receiving my badge that I took notice of the signage that was actually in the corner informing me that there was an app. And to tell you the truth, the signage was a little complicated. It had a few steps to discover the app and download it. I noticed that it wasn't actually quite up to date.
What do you mean by it wasn't quite up to date?
Well, for one thing, so this conference was in February 2018, and the app actually had like last year's conference for 2017 on it.
That can be embarrassing.
That's what I thought as well, which made me question actually the sponsors that were on the app. It made me feel that I couldn't trust the schedule on the app. And it went to look up, this on the agenda board to make sure that it was jiving. And another, I guess, I hate to use this word, but it's another fail. And of course, that's in quotes again, that I found was actually the floor map was small. So what I mean by that is when I tapped on to see the floor map on the app, the PDF came up and it was just small.
Tiny.
I had to zoom in closely to find out where the exhibitors were. And it was like really rough to go through that. It was not interactive. It was not updated. Because in the back of my mind, I was thinking, is this last year's booth floor plan? Or is this,
right,
know, is this accurate information? So, you know, in Mobile Pass is in real time. It's a real-time communication tool. It's best to be added to attendees' devices during the registration process, and it should not be off to the side when you go pick up your badge, to inform people that there's actually what's going on. So, and you know, these updated campaigns are actually seen in real time as well. So at the back of the event ticket pass that we would have recent sponsor campaigns during the show and can be used during and after the event to inform and notify attendees.
Right. So that would kind of make for accurate information being sent out, and people wouldn't be sitting around wondering whether or not the app had been updated.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So why don't you give us a couple more examples of other times where a mobile event ticket would be advantageous?
Sure. So I was at another conference, completely different. I was there. There was a main stage, and there were two smaller stages, which were demo stages, set up within the conference. And they were, you know, one was on one side of the conference, one on the other, and the main stage was in the middle. And, you know, we had a very nice, glossy event guide. It was actually quite nice. It had detail of all the speakers' bios in it for all these stages. And, you know, it informed us of in the agenda of when these talks were taking place. But I found it odd that the main stage agenda was listed with all the talk times in the event guide, and it was posted on the board, but it was not on the app or on the website. So it was not in digital format.
So if it wasn't in digital format, when could you find the times and the locations for the demos?
Right. So there was another board. There was the main board with all the talk times for the main stage. Now, the demo stages had their own boards. You had to walk over there to find that demo. So you didn't know.
No digital?
No digital. This is what I'm saying. No digital. I was lost, I have to tell you.
Okay.
I didn't know where to go. I was on one, you know, I knew there was a demo taking place. I had to walk onto the other side.
Got it.
I think a mobile pass would have resolved a lot of these issues. Actually having perhaps the content right on their app or on their website would have helped a lot. I don't know how this was a big misstep, but it really seemed to be. So so how would this work with the pass, right? That's your next question to me?
No, actually, you know, I was going to mention that it really is a great way to organize event tickets by dividing them up into stages.
That's right.
So that way you know what's going on with the lock screen notification. If the show is going to use that, and that way there would be no confusion about where to find the tracks, the demos, or to figure out who was on what stage.
Right.
You know, I've noticed this more and more with some conference websites or apps that you know, obviously they're not our customers, but they're not really updating during the conference.
Right.
You know, and I look at how we do it with our platform. It's so, so simple. I don't know. This kind of brings up another fail, I guess. You know what? Go ahead, talk about fail number three. You've done an awesome job with the first two, so just go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Kim. So the last time, actually, you were with me. We were in San Jose. And you know, I noticed there was a highly sponsored after party that fell through the cracks.
Oh, and did it ever fall through the cracks?
It sure did. So we were both recently again in San Jose, and we noticed that there were two competing parties happening the first night of a two-day conference. So they were both listed, as sponsored affiliate parties to the conference, and people knew that they were happening. Party A was listed on the website, where it was, what time, during what day, and during the day, there were postcards being passed around, so lots of signage. As for Party B, we knew that there was one, And we knew who the sponsor was, and he was a big sponsor. But no one had any idea of where it was. In fact, on the site, it was only listed as TBD, to be determined. And when you went to the app, it actually mirrored the site with TBD. So I know, Kim, you had to do a search or two until you found it on the conference site. And we found that it had no links to it coming from the homepage.
Well, actually, I found it in a Google search, so it wasn't even on the website per se. It was just in the new Google search results, where if you're looking for an event, it'll show search results of that event or similar events if Google has caught it.
That is odd. Now a mobile event ticket works a good couple of ways to inform attendees. The first, the mobile pass customized for the conference should have informed the attendees of Party B, because they were big sponsors. And I think they lost out in not using their own sponsor pass to notify their users of where the party was and who the big sponsor was.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure we all know who the big winners were that night. It was the sponsors from Party A, because everybody went to that party instead of Party B. And, you know, not only did Party B have almost nobody there, it also closed down early. So I would hope that they don't make that mistake again. Although they are kind of known for not really hitting the mark with their events, sadly. So in all these cases, you know, the conference organizers should not be having something just slip through the cracks like this, where the simple use of a mobile wallet pass in the form of an event ticket that's updated in real time, that provides, you know, you can provide information directly to the attendees, sponsor ad value, all these things. And it makes a huge difference in the success of the event. And, you know, I think it's awesome that you had super examples for today's episode. And if you happen to be listening and you produce events or trade shows, really glad that you stuck it through to the end of the podcast. And you probably should get in contact with us to get a demo, mobilewalletmarketer.com, of how our platform works so that you can consider using it for your next event.
Yes. Well, that's all we have for today. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time.
Thanks.